Please be seated.
Actually, please remain standing.
Oh.
For the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had it in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Okay, so right about now, folks are saying, what is he doing? You know, we're supposed to be doing the children's chat. The kids came down the steps ready for the children's chat. Well, it is the fifth Sunday. And you never know what Diane and I are going to cook up for a fifth Sunday. We like to do something different when there's 5 Sundays in a month. But every now and then, you know, I like to do this too, because what does it say in your bulletin, the very last line of the worship service? Under control of the Holy Spirit. And you know, and just like life, we all have our schedules. We're all telling ourselves, you know, after church, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that today. And then this week, I've got this, and this planned out to do. I've got work. I've got, you know, the alarm is set. I've got a busy schedule. And guess what? Life doesn't always go that way. Sometimes there's a change of plans when you least expect it. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's real bad. Sometimes there are opportunities to do ministry that we never expected. And the Holy Spirit's saying, wait a minute, I need you to do something else right now, today, tomorrow. So, this is that something else. Our schedule is all planned out for us in the bulletin. We know how things are supposed to go, but they're not going that way today. When I raise my hand like this, I would like us to sing from number, is it 2024? 2040. Number 2040 in the Faith We Sing. So look that up now, number 2040, and keep your finger there, because we're gonna refer back to it a couple times. Okay, ready? God is an awesome God. Okay. Here in John chapter 6, Jesus, who was already well known for all the miracles that he'd done, for his preaching, and he had quite a following. Him and his disciples, they cross over the Sea of Galilee to get away to spend some time teaching and resting. And And when they get to the other side, though, people have followed them. And they followed them, and so when Jesus and the disciples go up on the mountainside, and they probably just went up into the foothills, and they sat down, and Jesus looked, and all these people coming from the shore and that, they're coming across the plains. Try to picture that. We're talking 5,000 men plus women and children. We know there were children because there was the boy with the five loaves of barley bread and the two small fish. So there's women and children coming across the plain towards him. And Jesus looks at them. He has compassion on them. He knows they've traveled far. It's getting on in the day. And so Jesus says to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Because Jesus is being a shepherd to the sheep. I've read this passage. I can't tell you how many times over the years. This is the first time that I read this passage, and this dawned on me. Philip says, it would take more than a half a year's wages for everybody to get just a bite of bread. Jesus didn't ask him how much it would cost. He just asked him, where are we going to get the bread? And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says, well, we do have this young boy here with five small loaves of barley bread and two small fish. I don't know how far that would go among so many. Let me ask you this. Which one was part of the problem? Philip. Philip was part of the problem. He brought up the negative side of the whole issue. Jesus didn't ask him how much it would cost, right? Only where would we get the bread? And rather than be part of the solution, Philip brings up more problems. A naysayer. Who was part of the solution? Andrew. Andrew didn't know how this would fix the solution, because in Andrew's limited mind, there wasn't enough for everybody, but he was trying to be part of the solution. And so he gave to Jesus what he had. Boy, let those who have ears hear. You and I are children of Almighty God. The one thing we should not be doing is walking by sight. We shouldn't be looking at our bank accounts, our time, the numbers. We should be looking at what is it that God wants us to do? Because God will take care of the rest. We need to step out in faith. Oh, I know. Being part of the solution is not always easy. And it does require faith. It's much easier to believe in what we can tangibly touch and see and hear and count. You know, that's easier to believe in. But it's not what you and I, people of faith, are called to do. We're called to make a difference in this world by being solution people, part of the solution. If I hold up a glass of water and 50% of it is filled with water, what is it? Are you sure it's half full? Or would you rather say it's half empty? It's real easy to be part of the problem. It's real easy to be a moaner, a groaner, a gossiper, even a backstabber. It's real easy to be a naysayer. Because we can see the problem. It's right there. But the person who's part of the solution knows that with God, all things are possible. If we were to live by only what we saw, would we have the story of David and Goliath? Oh, sure, but it would have turned out a whole lot different. David was part of the solution. Imagine now that you're sitting in a meeting in church. Let's say we're talking about evangelism, outreach. We're talking about the young people in our community who are not in church. And over 60% of the community is not in church. That's what the demographics tell us. And if you ever come to an event down in Irwin, you will see lots of young people that you don't recognize. And so we have all these young people who are wandering our streets and our communities who are not hearing the word of God. They're not in church. So that's what we're discussing at our meeting. And how are we going to solve that? How are we going to get the word of God to them? Well, one person says, well, we can't afford to do anything. We don't have the time. We don't have the people. We advertise church. Let them come here. And then one person says, well, why don't we put out there and hire a youth pastor and bite the bullet and dig deep and hire a youth pastor and help that youth pastor with some volunteers to reach out to our young people, to take the word of God out to them. Why don't we do that? Now, was person number one part of the problem or solution? Problem. Person number two was part of the solution. Okay. Ron, would you stand up, please? This is Ron Slavin. S-L-A-V-I-N. First name, Ron. His wife's name is Robin. She was at first service. His daughter's name is Caitlin. She was here at first service. He has two sons, Jeff and Aaron. Jeff and Aaron, who are out of the house doing successful things. And Ron is, his home church is Charter Oaks, United Methodist Church. He's been the youth minister at the Jeanette campus. The kids call him Captain Cupcake. And Ron has been involved in just about every leadership position there is for Charter Oaks. They just love him to death down there. But now he is ours. He's our youth pastor. So, Ron will be greeting after the service today, so you can get a chance to talk to him on your way out. We're still trying to figure out some details. Ron and I were talking this morning, but he's got some exciting plans. And I'm telling you, if you know anybody who's of youth group age, we're talking, I guess, is it sixth grade and up? Sixth grade and up, we're talking the Creation Festival and Spark and some campfires and our youth community activities on Wednesdays, mission trip stuff. It's exciting stuff. So you're going to want to get on board, and Ron will want to get to know you. So we need the volunteers to come together and meet Ron. We need the kids to step up and start telling their friends. That's being part of the solution. Let's say that we're having a meeting in church, and somebody says, there's a lot of lonely people in the community. Lonely and hungry. And we know that there are a lot of people who don't have family, don't have a way to get around. They're on very low income. We've got families living with families. Our food bank alone serves over 100 families. And then there's the Presbyterian Food Bank, and they serve a lot of families. So there are a lot of people in need in our community. What can we as a church do to help minister to those who are lonely and hungry that we're not already doing? That's the meeting. That's the problem. One person steps up and says, hey, listen, we offer church to them and we've got a food bank, you know, and they can go to the other food bank. That's good enough. If they need help, let them call Catholic Charities or Salvation Army or something. And another person steps up and says, why don't we have a free community dinner once a month, say at the end of the month on a Friday evening, and invite the public, invite people to come in and sit down and fellowship and eat a meal at least once a month at the end of the month when money's run out and things are tight. We'll need volunteers, of course, and it will keep it real simple. Which person is part of the problem? The one who doesn't want to do anything. Who's part of the solution? The one who wants to have the free community dinner. Is it easy to have a free community dinner? It's not. We're going to need donations. We're going to need people. We're going to have to get out and advertise. It's not going to work for a while, but it'll eventually catch on, I promise you. But it's something that we're throwing out there because we have a problem. Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We are filled with the power of Almighty God. You're going to hear this in Ephesians in just a little bit when Tracy reads our other scripture reading. We have a choice every day, because I'm not just talking about problems in church. I'm talking about problems at home with your family. I'm talking about problems at work. I'm talking about problems with your neighbors and not in the community. You can moan and groan and kick and fuss. You can be passive aggressive and resist and just, I'm not getting along. It's not my fault. I'm right. I'm too embarrassed. I can't afford it. I'm not going to do it. You can be part of the problem. Or through prayer and love, you can say, okay, I turn the other cheek, forgive, forget, love. I will go out of my way and find out what that person needs. I will get involved in the community. I will do whatever it takes to make things right at work. You can be part of the solution. Because that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be a part of the solution. Because when we're part of the problem, we're denying the power of Almighty God. We're saying that God is not able to do this. When in fact, God can multiply 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish and feed over 5,000 people until they're full and then collect 12 baskets of leftovers. With God, all things are possible. And we're going to have a movie afternoon. We're going to do it in a couple weeks. One Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, we're going to watch a movie called Facing the Giants. It's not a documentary. It's a fictional movie about faith. It's a great movie. It brings me to tears every time I see it. And I've seen it probably 12 times. It's a great movie. So we're going to see that movie. But with God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Believe that. Believe that. No matter what you're facing in the world, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. That's what we learn from today's scripture reading. God loves you, and so do I.